up to the roosters. Eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning. Get up and go to that 9 to 5. Get up and get them dollar signs. Get up and go do overtime. Get up and put that overdrive.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's a great morning. It's a great morning. I'm excited. I don't know if you can tell through that slight intro, but we are back. Man, we're back. It is another episode of Great Mornings Podcast with your dude, James Earl Cray. And listen to my faithful listeners. Thank you so much. I'm so greatly appreciative of all of you. On a serious note, it has been several months. The last episode I was with you was June 28th. And let me go ahead and tell you exactly why. I got caught up in the looking across the street spirit, if you will, for us churchy folks. A better way of putting it, I got caught up in comparing myself to the Joneses. I was looking around, and I still hold this to be true. There are podcasts everywhere. And I messed around and listened to or watched, really, because it was on YouTube, a podcast with R&B singers. It was Jamie Foxx. It was Tank. And I believe it was Jay Holiday. And I was watching a podcast on YouTube. They were having drinks. They started getting tipsy. And for me, there was no real content in the episode. They were just talking. They were just fellas hanging out, having drinks, got tipsy, just rambling on about just random stuff. So when I saw that podcast, I was like, man, everybody doing podcasts. All the athletes doing podcasts. All the musical artists doing podcasts. All the gospel music greats are doing podcasts. All the actors, actresses are doing podcasts. I just felt like the market was oversaturated, if you will, and there was no room for the little people like me that are out here trying to hustle and bustle and grind and make a name for ourselves through podcasts. And I was like, man, I'm not about to keep doing this, having to come up with content, having to sit down, record, edit, and produce all by yourself. I just didn't feel like it was worth it to get 50, 100 listens maybe, sometimes close to 200 if it's a great week. But then I had several people hit me up, 3-4 people maybe, was like, where's the podcast? Like, that podcast matters to us. Like, Cray, we need your podcast. Like, your content was, and I was like, dang, man, even if it's for 4 people, catch this as a note for you. You cannot quit what you're doing. What you're doing, if it's impacting one person, you got to keep doing it. So here I am. I'm back. I promise y'all, I may take some breaks, but I ain't gonna quit. And this time I'm determined not to even take another break. Every 2 weeks, the podcast is gonna drop on a Tuesday, which is every other Tuesday. I'm gonna be dropping the podcast early in the morning. So get ready. We back. Mamba mentality. Let's go. No quitting, no giving up. No comparing yourself to the Joneses. If you do compare yourself to the Joneses, compete with them. Not buying stuff, obviously, but compete in mentality. So family, welcome to a new episode of Great Mornings Podcast. It's Tuesday morning somewhere, wherever you are, when this podcast drops. Make sure you let somebody else know about this podcast. Make sure you share it with somebody. Y'all know it's on every single podcast platform. So find Great Mornings Podcast and share it with somebody. I am here today to talk to us from the idea, the Mount Rushmore of you. Y'all can put that on your social media platform. Put it as your Facebook status. Put it as a tweet on Twitter. Put it on your stories of your Instagram. Snapchat it. Make sure you give me my credit the first time. But then after that, you can pretend like you said it. The Mount Rushmore of you. And interestingly, I don't really remember learning about Mount Rushmore in high school or in early elementary or middle school. I remember seeing the sculpture, but I don't really remember learning about Mount Rushmore. I learned about Mount Rushmore through my love for athletics. And we'll talk about that in a quick second, about some of the athletes we place on the Mount Rushmore of sports. But really, Mount Rushmore is historical. It represents four presidents who represent the nation's nation, America, U.S., represents our birth, growth, development, and our perseverance. This Mount Rushmore is located, interestingly, in South Dakota, the black, what they call the Black Hills of Keystone, near Keystone, South Dakota. I've never been to South Dakota, never thought about going to South Dakota, but I would love to go see the Mount Rushmore in Keystone, South Dakota. The presidents on the Mount Rushmore, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. And again, these four presidents were said to be selected because they represented our nation's birth, growth, development, and perseverance. What I found to be interesting is I always dig deeper than the surface level things, right? I always dig a little bit deeper than what I see. It's super cool to have these four presidents up there. But I wanted to know whose idea was this. And Gutzon Borglum and his son, Lincoln Borglum, both of them were the visionaries or the sculptors who designed and oversaw this project. Family, this project took almost 20 years. They started it in 1927. They completed it in 1941. It was funded by then U.S. Senator from South Dakota, Peter Norbeck. And each one of these presidents' face are 60 foot tall. That's bananas. So that's the Mount Rushmore. And again, I just want to highlight these four presidents for you: George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Abe Lincoln. Because now I want to give you my Mount Rushmore of presidents: Barack Hussein Obama is on my Mount Rushmore of presidents. George, I don't know which letter in the middle. Bush, the son. I know that's odd for some people, but I like George Bush, the son, over Bill Clinton. I got my reasons why. Bill Clinton responsible for the three strikes law. Bill Clinton, although he's an honorary member of my fraternity, I don't rock with Bill like that. I like him, but I take George Bush, the son, on my Mount Rushmore over Bill Clinton. JFK, John F. Kennedy. Not that I was born at the time, but I like JFK. Dude was incredibly swaggy. Love JFK swag. Unreal, unbelievable for the short period of time that he was in office. I don't even want to speak about the Marilyn Monroe thing, but JFK is my dude. And unfortunately, but interestingly, he was killed, assassinated on my birthday exactly 20 years before I was born. So I was born November 22nd, 1983. Kennedy was murdered or assassinated November 22nd, 1963 on the grassy knoll. So, yeah, JFK. And my fourth and final one, I was not born again, but Abraham Lincoln. And I know this is up for debate, right? Many people would debate Abraham Lincoln, but the reality is Abe Lincoln played a role in the freeing and the abolishment of slavery. So he has to be on my Mount Rushmore. So those are my four Mount Rushmores of presidents. President Obama, President Bush the son, President Kennedy, Swaggy, and President Abe Lincoln. Then, you know, I couldn't do the Mount Rushmore of you or of me without mentioning my Mount Rushmore of athletes. This is over all sports. Now, this is my list. Don't some of you come inboxing me and sending me a message telling me your list was bogus, it was lame, it was whack, and all that stuff. No, this is my list. I'm biased to my Mount Rushmore. First and foremost, all of you that know me, if anybody on here that's listening knows me, you already know LeBron James is on my Mount Rushmore of athletes. He is the greatest basketball player of all time. I said it. And one of the greatest athletes of all time. Serena Williams is, to me, the greatest athlete of all time. And I ain't just saying that. Serena Williams is the queen of the court and is on my Mount Rushmore of athletes. I mean, the achievements of this woman, the way she, I mean, just switched up the game of tennis, what she means to the world of tennis, what she means to young black women, black girls, what she means to black culture, what she means to the culture itself. Serena Williams is on my Mount Rushmore athletes. Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer of all time, self-claimed the greatest. Ali is on my Mount Rushmore athletes. Everything about Ali. Again, I'm big on swag. I'm big on presentation. The confidence. I mean, come on. Muhammad Ali made boxing fun to watch. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Rumble, young man, rumble. I'm pretty. Yeah, Ali. And then Deion Sanders. Again, as y'all can see, this is about swag toward the end for me. Prime time. Prime time. The man that told the Detroit Lions, if y'all draft me in 1989, I ask for so much money, y'all got to put me on layaway. Who says that? And now what Deion means to historically black colleges and university athletics. He has revolutionized what HBCU sports are supposed to look like. So my Mount Rushmore athletes are LeBron James, Serena Williams, Muhammad Ali, and Deion Sanders. This last list is my Mount Rushmore of musical artists or entertainers. Now, again, this is my list. I'm biased to this list. Chris Brown is number one on my Mount Rushmore of musical entertainers. I'm a huge Chris Brown fan. I ain't afraid to say it. Me and Chris Brown, we rock out. That's my dude. So Chris Brown is on my Mount Rushmore of athlete, of music, musical entertainers. Marvin Gaye, Mr. Let's Get It On. Ooh, babe. Marvin Gaye, I really, in my passion for film, I would love to do the Marvin Gaye story. So if there's any directors out there listening that somehow stumble across this podcast, let me do the story of Marvin Gaye's life. Let me do the biopic of Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye is arguably the greatest voice, natural, raw voice this world has ever seen. I mean, if you've never heard that brother sing the Star Spangled Banner, Google it at the All-Star Game in 83, I believe. He sang the Star Spangled Banner like nobody's business. So Marvin Gaye is on my Mount Rushmore of musical artists, entertainers. Whitney Houston, come on. Whitney Houston, Super Bowl show murdered it. Vocals, high notes, holding it. It's a note that Whitney hit that nobody can hit to this day. Whitney Houston, the talent, the gospel mixed with R&B, soul. Man, Whitney Houston's on my Mount Rushmore of musical artists and entertainers. And the last person on my list, or on my Mount Rushmore of musical artists and entertainers, Bobby Brown. Yes, Every Little Step We Take, Mr. My Prerogative, Tenderoni, Bobby Brown. Off of that one album all by itself. I mean, dude was actor, dancer, singer, true entertainer. And I've always said, when I was little, I wanted to be a background dancer for Bobby Brown. So my Mount Rushmore of musical artists and or entertainers, Chris Brown, Marvin Gaye, Whitney Houston, and Bobby Brown. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the Mount Rushmore stands for, right? Stands for the creme de la creme, the elite of the elite, if you will, the best of the best, the memorable, the revolutionary, the trendsetter and trailblazers. Those are the people that end up on our different Mount Rushmores. But today I want to talk about the Mount Rushmore of you. And what does that really mean for us, Cray? I'm going to give you my Mount Rushmore of people in general. And I'm giving you this Mount Rushmore of people for me that describe who I am. And I want you all to do this. I want you to do a Mount Rushmore of people for you. But listen now, you only get to select four. So you really got to sit down and you got to think through this thing. I'm going to give you an example through my Mount Rushmore. We're going to talk through it. And then I want you to sit down this week and do a Mount Rushmore of people that, here it is, describe you. This is not only therapeutic, but this helps you to gain an understanding of who you are through other people. That's something I always found intriguing and I always found incredibly interesting. We typically do this with family members. I look like my mom. My dad, out of five sons, my dad was in a family with five sons, five daughters. And out of five sons, my daddy is the only one that can grow facial hair. So I get my facial hair attribute from my dad. Or I got characteristics like my Uncle John. My mom says I have characteristics like her dad. I have moments like my granddad on my dad's side. So we always look to family to identify things about us. But what I found that you can do as well, use people that are celebrity, that are local in your community, that you're connected to, however, whether that's physical, whether that's mental, however you're connected to them, use them to help identify who you are. And no, it's not that you're finding your identity in them, but all of us need assistance to discovering who we are. And it's not problematic to look at other people to find assistance into discovering who you really are. It's amazing. And I wish I had a statistic on this, but it's amazing how many people live lengthy lives never knowing who they are, only identifying themselves physically. That's why you see the chaos that we see in the world today. I mean, sex sells everything. How a person looks, what they wear, how their hair is. Did you know the hair industry, especially in the black community, is a multi-billion dollar a year industry? Because black people care that much about their hair. Do you realize how much money Ralph Lauren, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein, Christian Louboutin. Do y'all realize how much money they make a year because of our obsession with how we look? Do y'all realize how much money? I almost said Mary Kay, but I know y'all ain't wearing no Mary Kay sisters. Please, I don't want to hate on nobody that's in the Mary Kay business, but if you still wearing Mary Kay makeup, then you missing it. We got MAC makeup out here. We got Sephora out here, sisters, that you can go to. So if you still wearing Mary Kay, listen, MAC, Sephora, Ultra Beauty, go by and visit, right? But anyway, do you know what the cosmetic industry is like? Booming. Because we typically only identify ourselves in the mirror. And I want to tell somebody today, this morning, you are more than what's in the mirror. And listen, I know Michael Jackson said it starts with the man or the woman in the mirror. It does, but you are more than what you see in the mirror. So don't lose yourself. And here it is. Don't overinvest in what the mirror shows you and cheat the investment of what the mirror cannot see. I feel like that was a bar. Don't overinvest in what you see in the mirror and underinvest in what the mirror is not showing you. So here it is. The Mount Rushmore of you. The Mount Rushmore of me, James Earl Cray. First, again, it's LeBron James. And I know some of the people that are close to me, they like, every time you talk to this dude, he bring up LeBron James. But LeBron James is on the Mount Rushmore of me for three reasons. His entrepreneurship. You cannot argue that LeBron James has made $500 million in contracts and salary as an athlete, but he's a billionaire, which means he's made an additional $500 million away from basketball. He's part owner of the Boston Red Sox. He's part owner of one of the soccer franchises. He has now just bought ownership in this new pickleball game. He's got part ownership in Spring Hill movie and film productions. His entrepreneurship, because I have an entrepreneur passion and ability, and I want to be able to make my entrepreneur ventures come to life like LeBron James has. He has his own building at Nike. The ability to negotiate, to make deals, to make the right deals. His entrepreneurship. His kindness. Now, this is interesting. LeBron James is one of the most helpful superstars of our lifetime. When people talk about Kobe Bryant, they talk about the Mamba mentality. When they talk about Michael Jordan, they talk about their mentalities, that these dudes wouldn't help you up off the floor. They weren't trying to be your friends. They weren't trying to be friends with their teammates. Well, LeBron James has a different way and approach to leadership. And it's heart-driven in a different manner. Don't get me wrong. Kobe had heart, but it was his mentality. Jordan, of course, had heart, but their mentalities. Jordan would punch you. Kobe wouldn't talk to you. Kobe would get you kicked out of here, Shaq. Jordan would get in your face. LeBron helps you up off of the floor. Nice guy. And I relate to this in the Mount Rushmore of me because I have the same type of heart, a forgiving heart, a caring heart. And oftentimes y'all have heard this quote, people will take your kindness as weakness. And it's not that LeBron does not have a killer mentality. It's just that his killer mentality don't look like the serial mentality of Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. But you can't discredit our, when I say our, mine, LeBron, you can't discredit that we have driven mentalities just because it comes along with a kind type of leadership. And then thirdly, LeBron, the criticism. I oftentimes feel like LeBron James. I think, dude, is highly criticized. Like, think about this. He went to 10 NBA finals, 8 in a row, and he's probably the most criticized person for losing in the NBA finals. Like, the standard for this dude is at a whole nother level. He went to straight 8 NBA finals, and people said, oh, the Eastern Conference was weak, and it was a cakewalk. There's no such thing as a cakewalk getting to the NBA finals in the NBA. These are the 450 greatest basketball players in America. And he was beating the tar out of them. And I feel the same way. Like, the goalpost is moved for me oftentimes. Like, there's some people that could just get away with absolute murder. And if I talk about murder, the critique comes. So I relate to LeBron James as the first person on the Mount Rushmore of James Earl Cray because of the entrepreneur association we have, our kindness and our ability to lead. Not that we don't have a driven mentality, we just lead with a kinder mentality, and the critique. Oftentimes feeling like the goalpost is moved back farther when it comes to me. The levels of success that I've had in life, some people accomplish one thing I did and they're like, amazing. But let's just think about it. I'm not only a Division I collegiate athlete who was on full scholarship and a starter, but I graduated from college 3 times. And you got some people who get amazing credit for just being an athlete in college. And people rag me because I didn't make it to the NFL. So on my Mount Rushmore is first LeBron James. Secondly, on my Mount Rushmore of me is Nipsey Hussle. Now, I didn't discover Nipsey Hussle or come across Nipsey Hussle until, unfortunately, his life was taken tragically by a hater in his hood. And I became a major fan, not only of his music, but first, his philanthropy. Those that know me know one of my desires, one of my life goals is to be the greatest philanthropist in my Southeast Georgia area. I want to give away more money than anybody that came from Southeast Georgia. I want to be a philanthropist like Nipsey Hussle. Look him up if you don't know who Nipsey Hussle is. Nipsey was responsible for building a STEM facility in Crenshaw, located in Los Angeles, California, in the middle of the hood. He had an incredible clothing line, which is now partnered with Puma, called Marathon. He had his own clothing store. He talked about the health of the community and how we can use the practices of Dr. Sebi to give back. He was an incredible philanthropist who gave back to his community, and I desire the same. Over the last 3 years, I've been responsible for spearheading $50,000 or more in scholarships because of the desire for philanthropy. Also with Nipsey Hussle, his love for the hood. Nipsey Hussle loved Crenshaw. He loved Los Angeles, California. He loved this hood so much that it took his own life. Hazelhurst, Georgia, stand up. I love Hazelhurst just like that. That's my home. That's my hood. I have been giving back to Hazelhurst, Georgia for 17 years. I started doing community service work, giving back through All-Star Weekend, giving back through school supply drives, giving back in my hood since 2005. Scholarships now, pouring into small businesses, and I'm not even a multimillionaire yet, but because I have a love for the hood, I gave back. That's where I connect to Nipsey Hussle. Also, I connect to Nipsey Hussle because he was unconventional. That's me. Like, Nipsey Hussle didn't do the things that a typical gangbanger would do. You wouldn't think of a gangbanger building a STEM facility for science, technology, education, and math. I think the E is for education. But this is a gangbanger from Los Angeles, from the hood of Crenshaw, who's so unconventional that nobody could put him in a particular category. That's me. Like, so many people want to put me in one category, like, he's a pastor. But I'm so much more than a pastor. I'm so much more than just a black man in America. I'm so much more than just a dude from Southeast Georgia. I have film aspirations. I'm a creative. I create content. I'm an artist. I'm an athlete. I'm still athletic. I've never said this about me, but one of the things I believe about myself, I'm a brilliant mind. And I don't believe I get enough credit for that, but I'm a brilliant mind. I'm a thinker. I think ahead. So I'm very unconventional. I don't dress and look like your typical pastor. I got 16 tattoos, and I resonate with Nipsey Hussle. And why Nipsey Hussle helps me identify who I am is because of his philanthropy, love for the hood, and his unconventional approach to life. That's me. Thirdly, this is an interesting one. James St. Patrick, Ghost, from the fictional TV series, the original series, Power. I resonate with that dude, James St. Patrick, Ghost. He's on my Mount Rushmore of who I am. One, because of the whole aspect of the fictional character and fictional story. I have a large imagination. So I resonate with James St. Patrick to the point that he's on my Mount Rushmore of people who help me identify me, because he's a fictional character. And those that know me know I have a large imagination. In fact, my imagination is one of the things that gives me life. It's one of the things that keeps me going. It's one of the things that motivates me. My imagination. It helps me as a preacher. It helps me as a film writer and director. It helps me as a father. It helps me as a person. It helps me in relationships. The creativity that I often talk about within myself comes from my huge imagination. So I resonate with James St. Patrick, Ghost, from the original series Power, because he's a fictional character and I have a huge imagination. But secondly, his desired support. As I'm rewatching the first season of Power right now, I'm one, shocked that it was 8 years ago. Power came out in 2014. Well, that blows my mind. But it's also what I see in James St. Patrick. I'm not condoning adultery or infidelity. When you watch the show, you will see something that's interesting. When he reconnects with Angie, who's obviously or seemingly been a love of his life, he's never cheated on Tasha at the time. He's never stepped out on Tasha at the time. But all Tasha sees in Ghost is Ghost. She sees the drug dealer. He asked her, he said, baby, what did you think I would be? She said, the best drug dealer in all of New York. But then you have Angie, who sees Jamie, who sees James St. Patrick. She sees the business owner. She sees the philanthropist in the community. She sees what he desires to be. The dude is trying to get out of the drug game, but his wife only sees the drug money, the drug dealer. And to her defense, that's all she's ever known from him. But Angie sees in him what he desires. That's the desire support he wants. I'm just like that. Support means everything to me. And I can resonate with James St. Patrick because of the support. There's some people that see you as one thing and they see you as what you've always been, but you want them to see you as who you desire to be. And those are the people I gravitate toward. Those people that can support me, not just by coming to events and coming to things, but that can look at me and say, Cray, dude, you are brilliant. Because I shared this with a couple people close to me. I've always been overshadowed by my athleticism. Like in high school, this is no joke. I was voted to be most athletic, best dressed, and one of the other superlatives. But because of my athleticism, they said, we gonna make you, James Earl, most athletic. So we can give Superlative Best Dress, I think, went to Rodriguez Caesar, and the other superlative to someone else. And it's always been, oh, he's a great athlete. Or even now, he's a good preacher. But people miss the brilliance in having to preach and prepare a sermon. And I oftentimes want to be acknowledged for, and I'll talk about this in a second, my intellect and my brilliance. But so like James St. Patrick and why he's on my Mount Rushmore of people that help me identify me is because I see that desired support. He's not looking for anybody to give him money to support. He's looking for somebody like Angie who believes in him. I can resonate with that. And thirdly, his struggle with self. He's stuck in the drug dealer gangster versus the business owner professional. My struggle is not the same because I'm not a gangster, never killed nobody. Wish I was a gangster some days, but I'm not. But there's a struggle that I have with myself oftentimes. Do I want to be a pastor? Do I want to be something else? Do I want to be this versus how do I be this? And I can resonate with that. I can resonate with that level of struggle. So James St. Patrick, Ghost, the fictional character from the original series Power, is on my Mount Rushmore of who James Earl Cray is because of my imagination, my desired support, my struggle with self. And I left this one. And James St. Patrick's demeanor. I feel, now listen, this may sound a little arrogant, a little self-centered or conceited maybe. I've been called that all my life. But I feel like I got a little, I feel like I'm a little smooth now. You know, I ain't claiming to be the best dresser in the world, but I believe I can hold my own. I ain't claiming to be the most attractive dude in the whole world, but I feel like I hold my own. And I feel like I'm a little bit smooth, you know. I feel like, you know, me and James St. Patrick got similar demeanor. And I resonate with that. I resonate with the quietness of James St. Patrick because if you're around me long enough, you'll learn I don't really talk a whole lot. Like, this is a different side of me, doing podcasts, preaching, sitting on panels. That's a different side of me. But really, I'm cool, calm, collected. I know a lot of people say that, but the reality is I think I'm a pretty cool dude. You know, I feel like I'm a pretty swaggy guy. I feel like I'm a pretty, you know, well-demeanored character. So I resonate with James St. Patrick. That dude is crazy swaggy. Like, that dude is incredibly smooth. And, you know, I feel like I can resonate with that. So he's on the Mount Rushmore of who I am. And fourth and finally on my Mount Rushmore of who I am is Malcolm X. Malcolm Shabazz. There's several people that are connected to me that would be like, yeah, that's the one right there. That's the one. For one, some people say, I favor Malcolm X. Yes, my hair is not as sandy auburn brown as his, but my natural hair color is sandy brown. You got to be up close to tell now, but when I grew my hair out, it was very obvious. So we got similarities. But I resonate with Malcolm X, and he's on my Mount Rushmore of who I am because, number one, being misunderstood. A lot of people have Malcolm X twisted. Malcolm X was not a violent person, but his approach was, we gonna get what belongs to us. So he was oftentimes misunderstood. And I'm telling you today, I know I'm misunderstood. People look at me and be like, he's this or he's that without having a conversation with me. Right. I remember this girl, Pashley McClain. I probably shouldn't even be saying names, dog. But this young lady was, I mean, absolutely gorgeous in college. I mean, just, I was so crushing on her. And she had a boyfriend in college, so she never gave me the time of day. She would sit with me sometime in the cafeteria, me, her, her sister, and one of my frat brothers. We would all sit at the table, laugh, joke, cut up. But I remember when we connected after we both left Troy. About 2 years, I was working for Troy at the time. I was doing some traveling, and finally, she was single. She let me take her out. We went out, And as we was out, she was like, you know, J.E., that's what they called me in college, J.E. She was like, so many people said so much stuff about you, but you are not like they said. Like, she was like, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, I would have never known. She's like, because I never would have had a conversation like this with you. And that's been the nature of my life. Like, people will look at me at a sporting event and be like, oh, he's arrogant. Or I walk in a place with a hoodie on. It's not because I'm trying to be arrogant. I'm really bashful and shy. So if I walk in a basketball arena in my hometown or at a football game and I'm not speaking to nobody, it's not that I'm being cocky and arrogant. It's that, man, I'm really bashful. I feel a way when I walk into somewhere and I know people are looking at me or staring at me. So I wear a hoodie sometimes. I have a hat on. I walk looking straight forward. I'm thinking about, don't trip, Cray. Don't fall. So oftentimes I'm misunderstood, and I think I resonate with that with Malcolm X. Also, intellect. Malcolm X is arguably one of the most intelligent black men, not just black men, one of the most intelligent men to ever grace God's green earth. Malcolm X was super intelligent. Go listen to that brother's speech. Any of them. Go listen to his speech, specifically the speech that he talks about black people. Who told you, who taught you to hate the color of your skin? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught, go listen to that speech. That man was brilliant, man. And I feel like I resonate with Malcolm's intellect. That's why he's on my Mount Rushmore. I got to have an intellectual on my Mount Rushmore. All of these, LeBron, Nipsey, Jane St. Patrick, they all represent intellect, but Malcolm X intellect, unbelievable. And thirdly and finally, I resonate with Malcolm X, and he's on my Mount Rushmore of who I am because of the any by any means necessary heart. Let's be clear, family. He wasn't saying we're going to go beat up people. And Malcolm X was not Huey P. Newton, who Huey P. Newton is an honorable mention for my Mount Rushmore, who I am. But Malcolm wasn't talking about what the Black Panther Party was talking about. The Black Panther Party was like, let's go eye for an eye. Malcolm was saying, we're going to go through the proper process, whatever that process is, to get what's ours. That's by any means necessary. That was the heart of Malcolm X. And I have the same heart. By any means necessary, I'm going to raise money to get scholarships for our kids. By any means necessary, I'm going to find a way to give back to my community. That's the heart that I resonate with Malcolm X. So today, family, what I did in my first episode back with you on Great Mornings Podcast, I've given you the Mount Rushmore of who James Earl Cray is. LeBron James, entrepreneurship, kind leadership, criticism and critique unnecessarily, Nipsey Hussle, philanthropy, love for the hood, unconventional approach, James St. Patrick, ghost, fictional character, my imagination, desired support, struggle with self and demeanor, and fourthly on my Mount Rushmore of who I am, Malcolm Shabazz. Malcolm X, misunderstood, intellect, and an any means necessary heart. That's it, family. I'm wrapping it up. I hope that this was informative. I hope that it was fun to listen to. I hope that it's something that you can share with somebody else and give them inspiration to do what I'm about to encourage all of you to do yet again. I said this at the beginning of the podcast. I'm saying it now at the end of the podcast. I want all of you to do your Mount Rushmore of you. Who are the four people that you can identify yourself with and in, and give at least three reasons why? That's your homework for this week. I want you to do that. I want you to think over it. Share it with somebody. Share it with a friend. Get somebody else to do this. Make a list of the Mount Rushmore of you. Listen, family, it's been great. I hope it's been as great to you. I'm so glad to be back. Be praying for your boy that I'm able to just come up with content, that I'm able to get some guests to be on the podcast, that hopefully one day I'm able to put the podcast on YouTube. Be praying for my new film project, the first episode of my pilot film episode of the TV series that I don't have a name for yet, but the first episode is titled Joyce. Be praying for that. Be praying for me and be subscribing to this podcast. Share this with somebody. Tell somebody about it. It's your boy, James Earl Cray. And listen, family, no matter what obstacles you face today, no matter how many challenges you face on this Tuesday morning, always remember, it's a great day to be great. I love you, every single one of you, and God loves you so much more. I'm out. Peace.
Wake up to the roosters, eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.